morning. My name is Lindsay Joseph, and I am from the area, grew up here my whole life, went to the Baptist church, the Christian school. I was just pretty much your standard Christian kid. Grew up involved in the youth group and any ministry I could get involved in, not so much to serve God, but just for my own prideful sake, really. Grew up a very prideful kid, and it wasn't until I went off to college, I went to Maranatha Baptist Bible College, that I really got serious about my faith, and that's where I kind of just, my eyes were open to the gospel, and the simple fact that it's nothing in and of myself that I was saved, but that God chose to show me his love and his mercy. From there, I met my husband, Joel, and we were married last year, January 5th, 2013.
Hi, I'm Joel Joseph, and I was born and raised in an Anglican household, so for those that don't know what that is, that's pretty much Catholic light. And I was very good at seeing the sins of other people, and I was a very self-righteous person, and I focused a lot on everybody else and didn't really think that bad of myself. And it wasn't until I was 18 to 20 that God got a hold of my heart. I wish I knew a day and a time, but sadly I don't. And but I do know that it was during that time period or period of time that God really got a hold of my heart. And when I was 20 in college, I was introduced to the doctrine of grace, and that is fundamental to my growth, and it really just blew me up. I got to know a God that is the God of the Bible, that loves me unconditionally, that loves me in spite of my sin, and I just got to know an incredible God, and since then, I really haven't looked back, and I've been pursuing him pretty hard afterwards, so.
It was shortly after we were married that kind of thought I had it all together. I had the husband, the job, I was kind of settled in life, and then I just realized that I still had this longing. Something was missing, and I wasn't finding satisfaction in my marriage or my career. It wasn't until God allowed me to lose my job. I was unemployed, and my eyes were just kind of open to the fact that only God can fill that void in your life when you're not putting him first place. It wasn't until we heard a sermon and the pastor said something about how most Christians just go through life and there's not real growth and they just kind of plateau and they can't seem to rise above that. And the only way to really do that is to just jump into ministry evangelism, just kind of go for it and really just serve God wholeheartedly. Joel and I both kind of looked at each other and realized that we weren't there. We weren't plugged in anywhere. We weren't really pursuing God. March of 2013, God brought us to RBC. I was very apprehensive and scared to be at a different church for the first time in my life. We went to ABF, Earth and Vessels, that first morning, and I was just shocked to see so many people just transparent, open, and honest about sin and struggle, but not only that, who just loved God and just loved on us, complete strangers just coming up to us and being so friendly. It was from there that Wayne and Carol Bielgard just really took us under their wings and allowed us to get plugged into ministry, kind of helped push us along the way, and from there we became members, and we got involved in middle school and youth group. We've had the opportunity to be involved in several Bible studies, and it's all just because the body was so loving on us, and that's just been a huge blessing in such a short amount of time.
And shortly after we started going to our ABF, I was invited to a Tuesday night study at the Marathon on Highway 20 at 7 o'clock every Tuesday. And if you're not already going, you should go. It was very good for my soul. And I got to learn about the God of the Bible through Scripture. We go through a chapter in a book of the Bible every week. And God really really humbled me as I studied the Word and got to know guys that really love him and pursue him on a day-to-day basis. And I know Lindsay already mentioned ABFs, but I kind of want to touch on it too, at least my point of view on it. And we did really appreciate the transparency that people were willing to give about their own sinfulness and shortcomings. But on top of that, we were really blessed and encouraged by the people wanting to not only know our prayer requests, but actually praying for us. And during the week, if they saw us, they'd ask us how we were doing and how that prayer request was going. And what we came to discover was that at our ABFs, there are people that not only want to do Sundays with us, they want to do life with us. And that was so encouraging to our souls. And if I'm going to be a little transparent now, as of December 6th, I have been unemployed. And my throat. Obviously, we all live life, and we know that suffering is a guarantee. But if you're a believer, there's another guarantee, that is that we have hope and joy in Christ. And Romans 8:28 says that God is in control over all things, and he's doing all things for my good, our good, and most importantly, his glory. And Matthew 28:18, something we're studying today in ABFs, if you go, says that Jesus Christ has been given authority over all things. And thankfully, in the last 2,000 years, the definition of all hasn't changed. And he has been given authority over all things. So I'm grateful for that. And I hope that no matter what happens, that he is in control over all things. And in our ABFs, there are people that want to go through this journey with us. One thing we've definitely learned is that a true mark of Christian maturity isn't how often we sin or how often we don't sin, but how fast do we go to Christ after we do sin. And in our ABFs, we see people that are good examples of that, and we're very grateful for it. So as you can see, there's nothing really great about Lindsay and I. We're not really that special. We're pretty much your average newlyweds, I guess. One thing that I'd like to encourage all of you, if you're not already connected in a ABF, that I think you should definitely do it. If you're interested in ministry, I think you should talk to an elder and see if there's an opening. There is probably always an opening. If you have a heart and a will, I'm sure there's a way to get you involved in ministry. That's pretty much what we have to say. I'll just close it with prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for just giving us the opportunity to be at RBC. Thank you for the leaders you've put in this church and for the people you've brought to this church, Father. I just pray for the people in the service right now that may not be connected in an ABF. Father, I pray that you give them a desire to put themselves out there and make themselves known, Father. And I know that you will provide people to just love on them and go through life with them, Father. I also pray for Spencer as he's about to give the message, Father. Please give him the words to speak and give us the ears to hear and soften our hearts toward what he has to say, Father. We love you and we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Great to hear from Joel and Lindsay about what the Lord has done in their lives recently and how this church has ministered to them. Great to hear that word of testimony. I give you a moment to go ahead and stand up. We're going to stand for the scripture reading anyway, so you can stay standing. But as you're standing up, I'll give you a second to say hi to someone nearby. Brag on how cute your kids looked up here. All right, if you stay standing with me for the reading of Scripture, if you have a Bible, we're going to read from the book of Psalms, and then we're going to read from the book of Matthew. If you know where the Psalms is, it's kind of right in the middle of the Bible, and we're going to read from Psalm 148, and then we're going to read from Matthew chapter 1. We're going to read from Psalm 148, that's kind of right in the middle of the Bible. Then we're going to read from Matthew 1, and Matthew is the first book in the New Testament, the first book to tell us the story of Jesus Christ. We're going to start our reading of Scripture in Psalm 148. And I picked this psalm for us to read. It's not really a psalm about Christmas, but Psalm 148 is, picture Psalm 148 as like two hands that are just expressing themselves out of Scripture and expanding around the whole world. Psalm 148 says, it just says this, praise the Lord. But these two hands try to reach out and grab everything and make everything praise the Lord. So as we read Psalm 148, you could think about a Christmas story. Think about what it looked like, the hillsides, the stars, the sheep, the kings, the wise men, the young girl. And you'll be surprised how almost every character in the Christmas story pops up here in Psalm 148 when the psalmist wants everything and everyone to praise the Lord. This is a reading of God's perfect holy word, and we read from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and young maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for His people, praise for all His saints, for the people of Israel who are near Him, praise the Lord. You turn ahead to Matthew chapter 1. You hear in Psalm 148 almost every character we encounter in Matthew 1 and Luke 2, from the cattle and the sheep to the shepherds and the young maiden, they all showed up back there in Psalm 148. We'll read a little bit of the Christmas story here from Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these words inspired by the Spirit of God and living and active and powerful in this moment today. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Our Lord Jesus, we call on your name now to make this word living, convicting, converting, and active in our minds and hearts and spirits in this moment, in this hour. Amen. You may be seated. We probably all have a favorite character in the Christmas story. If you say your favorite character is Jesus, you're cheating. That's too easy. But you think of all the different characters, how many of them popped up back there in Psalm 148, and the shepherds and the wise men and the sheep and the cattle in the manger and the innkeeper and, of course, Mary and Joseph. All sorts of animals, all sorts of people. There's one class of character in the drama of Christmas that's neither animal nor human. They're very interesting. They're very important. And that's the angels that show up both in Matthew's account and in Luke's account of the birth of Jesus Christ. The reason the angels are important, if you look at really what we just read in Matthew chapter 1, is that without the angels, nobody would have known what was going on. Without the angels, the whole thing would have remained a mystery. But it's because of the angels' announcement that everything became clear. In our text there in Matthew 1, because of the angels' announcement, it became clear what God was doing and why it was such good news. It was the angels who proclaimed what God was doing and why that was such good news. Without what they revealed about the identity of Jesus Christ and the baby, without them, what would have happened? Without the angel announcing to Mary, Mary would have known this. I'm a virgin, never been with a man, and now I'm pregnant. What? Say, what? This can't be happening. It's impossible. Without the angel announcing to Joseph, the angel appears to Joseph in Matthew 1. Without the angel announcing to Joseph, explaining the good news to Joseph, what would have happened? Joseph would have known, I'm engaged to this young woman. I've never been with her sexually. And now she's pregnant. Say, what? This is impossible. This can't be happening to me. She couldn't have been unfaithful to me. What am I going to do? Without the angels announcing to the shepherds, they wouldn't have gone and told anyone any good news, no mountains to tell. They would have just stayed out there watching their sheep, and they wouldn't have known that anything at all was happening. Without the angels announcing the identity of this baby, we wouldn't have known what God was doing and why it was such good news. Every year, Christmas comes, and we all know that it's Christmas. The commercial, industrial, economic, retail complex will not let us not know that it's Christmas. Every year, it grinds up closer to get you to spend more money. This year, all the stores basically said, leave the pumpkin pie on grandma's table, move back from the Thanksgiving table, and get in your car and go use your credit card and buy a lot of presents on Thanksgiving Day, for crying out loud. There's no chance that we won't know that it's Christmas. Capitalism tells us so. But there's a chance that we won't know what it actually means and why it's good news. We have to receive that. See, the angels came from heaven to deliver this information about what was happening and why it mattered. The angels were, in this case, revelators of God's good news. You know, that's what we believe. That's what we believe the Bible is. That's what we depend upon the Bible being. We believe what we believe, not because we made it up, not because it's a tradition, not because we feel like believing it necessarily. The church believes and confesses what she believes and confesses because God revealed it. The Word of God is a revelation of information that God wants us to know for the purpose of knowing Him and having a relationship with Him forever. See what the angels revealed to Joseph, and let the word of God reveal this to you. In verse 20, the angel says, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The angels said to Joseph, Joseph, don't break it off with Mary. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. The angels give this surprising announcement of a complete reversal. The angels are basically saying, Joseph, don't put her away. This is not indicative of impurity on Mary's part. In fact, what God is doing and why God is doing it is such good news that It's indicative of more holy purity than Joseph and Mary could have ever imagined. The angels say, Joseph, don't put Mary aside. Don't break off the engagement because she's been unfaithful. In this surprising reversal, the information that the angels bring is, don't turn away from her because she's been unfaithful. In fact, this is the revelation of the faithfulness of God. All that there in Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. And they say, you'll call his name Jesus. This is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Yeshua or Joshua. And that Hebrew name means God is salvation. God is salvation. And they say, you'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And if I could just pick one word this morning to take a minute to explain it to you, it would be that word, salvation. Basically, bottom line, here it is. You got to take that word, salvation, and you have a choice. You either have to believe what you want to believe about that word, salvation, or you have to believe what God has revealed in his word about that word, salvation. Word salvation means a lot of things in entertainment. It seems that every other movie that comes out these days is about the world being destroyed, and we need giant robots or some 8-year-old kid playing a video game to save us from the planet's destruction. Or we could look to the political, economic world. That's the concept of salvation actually boils down to maybe the provision of universal health care or unemployment benefits or economic development or sustainable growth or whatever it is. We could even look inward to the inner person, and salvation according to psychology or counseling means simply to come to peace with who you are and to learn how to navigate through life and the challenges and the difficulties that you're suffering. And I'll even tell you this, maybe you don't know this, the word salvation in the Bible, it actually means all of those things sometimes. I mean, the world wasn't being invaded by aliens and they didn't need giant robots, but lots of times in the Old Testament, Israel was being invaded by countries with iron chariots and spears. And God said, I will bring you salvation. And many times, the kings and the priests and the prophets who were supposed to oversee the nation saw her suffering and saw poverty and injustice. And God said, I want you to bring righteousness and salvation so that the unemployed and the poor can be cared for. And lots of times in the Bible, the word salvation does mean a sense of inner peace and knowing who I am and how I'm accepted by God. The word salvation means that many places in Scripture. And in fact, churches are about kind of all of those things. I mean, how many hospitals have been started by churches? How many schools have been started by churches? How many orphanages have been started by churches? And this is all wonderful. The orphanages save children from loneliness and despair. The hospitals save people from disease and destruction. The schools save people from ignorance. And salvation means all those things. The church supports all of those things. But here's the thing. All of those are downstream from Matthew 1, verse 21. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Not only are all those things secondary and downstream from this salvation, but if I could just tweak you for a second, it's a lot easier to talk about all of those forms of salvation than it is to talk to you about Jesus saving you from your sin of covetousness, your sin of dishonesty, your sin of lust and lying and gossip, your sin. And yet everything else we're ever going to talk about and do as a church has got to flow out of that. Call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Salvation here, the good news of Christmas, is salvation from sin. Salvation from the penalty of sin, which is death and separation from God. And salvation from the power of sin, which is the dominion and the slavery of sin, where we're constantly not able to do what we wish we were able to do. And this is what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. And that's why Matthew 1 says Jesus was born of a virgin. He was born without a sin nature. And that's why Matthew 1 says he's born. And then Matthew 2 and following say he lived a perfect life because he had to do for us what we could have never done for ourselves. He had to be born as a human so he could take our place. He had to die on the cross so that he could pay the penalty for our sin. And on the third day, he had to rise from the grave, because the price had been paid and his people can now be saved from their sin. So the message that the angels brought to Joseph, the message that I bring to you from the holy, perfect Word of God today is this. He has come. He was born and he lived and he died and he rose again to save us from our sins. Do you believe this? And have you received this by faith? Do you believe this and have you received this by faith? The good news about what Jesus has done is that the call to us is to receive it and believe it. Faith, belief is not a human work. Faith is a human commitment to trust the work of another. Faith is our understanding and our entrusting the work of another. You'll call his name Jesus, for he will do the work of salvation. That's why this is a declaration and a proclamation. It's not a contract. It's not a to-do list. It's a declaration that Jesus Christ has done this. That's why it's such glorious good news. And the acceptance of it is acceptance by faith, which is not a human work, not a religious rigmarole, but a fundamental belief. Faith is receiving knowledge in the mind or the head, and faith is a commitment of personal entrustment that arises from the heart. Faith is the understanding and acceptance of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done, but it's a little bit more than that as well. Faith is also the personal investment and personal commitment to that within the life. Because after all, what we're talking about is that God so loved the world that he sent his Son. That is not merely information to be understood. That's good news to be embraced, the way God has loved us. Faith and belief now loves God, and so there's a transformation of the life. If you have believed this, now is the time to praise him. Oh, praise him. Oh, praise him. Let all the heavens above and all the earth below and old men and young women and young maidens praise the Lord, for he has revealed salvation. If you have not yet believed this, today is the day of salvation, because the Lord Jesus Christ has come to save his people from their sins. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Lord and our God, we bow before you in prayer, believing that you are with us and that in the name of Jesus Christ, we present our prayers to you and they're heard in heaven from the very throne. Church family, if I could lead you in a prayer, those of you who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, let this be your prayer. Oh, praise you, great God and Savior. Let all the earth rejoice, For you have saved us. In this we delight, in this we hope, in this we continually ask you to in the joy of salvation, to burn away all the impurity and all the sin from our lives, that we might rejoice in your presence forevermore. And if you're here listening to me this morning and you don't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if I could lead you in a prayer. Just say, God in heaven, I've heard this message from your word. God in heaven, I want to believe it. I do believe it. Confessing that I'm a sinner in need of salvation. My sin needs to be wiped out. And I want to trust Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Would you just pray this? Lord God in heaven, lead me to salvation. Lead me into your word. And Lord God, lead me into your church. Give me somebody here to talk to today about what's going on in my life. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray for all those gathered here that in the power of your Spirit, by the power of your word, each one would be enabled to rejoice in the salvation of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.